All right, we're beginning here, six lines from the bottom of Chedem Udbet. The Gemara here is going to pick up, like it did before, on a number of memorot that we had mentioned through the daf previously. And one of them was, Gufa, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlamim Sheshachtan Ve'echal Ksherim. Shlamim that were shechted inside of the Echal are kosher, Shinamar. Where it says, by the Shlamim, V'samach Yado, Arush Korbeno, Ushechato Petach Omoei, V'zarku B'nei Aron HaKohanim, Et Adam Al Mizbeach Saviv. You have to do the Shechita in front of the Ol Moed, or in front of the door to the Ol Moed. Lo yitafel chamur min ha'ikar. And how could it be that the subordinate area be better than the area itself? If the whole point is they have to do it petach Ol Moed, then the Ol Moed should be just as good, if not better, than petach Ol Moed. Meitvei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira omer, minayin shemikifu obdei chachavim et azara. How do we know that if the enemy had surrounded the Azara, Shakonim nichnasim leichal v'ochlim mekodshei kodashim mishareim menachot, how do we know that the Kohanim could then hide out inside the Eichal and eat the kodshei kodashim and the shareim mincha that need to be eaten in the Azara, but they can't be eaten in the Azara, as Rashi notes over here, because there are weapons, catapults, and all sorts of projectiles that are landing in the Azara, preventing the Kohanim from eating there? How do we know that they can eat their kodshei kodashim and sheri minachot in the Eichal? Talmud Omar, b'kodesh hakodashim tochlenu. This is from Parshat Korach, where it's describing the rights that the Kohanim have to certain matnot kihuna. And it says over there about those things that are b'kodshei kodashim, v'zeh yelecha mikodesh hakodashim min ha'esh kol korbanam, l'chol minchotam, l'chol chatotam, l'chol hashamam, asher yashivu li kodesh kodashim lecha hu ulevanecha, b'kodesh hakodashim tochalenu kol zachar yocholoto kodesh yelach. So you see, the items that are kodesh hakodashim that need to be eaten in the Azara, mincha, chatat, asham, the Torah says, "Bekodesh Hakodeshim tochalenu," that you can eat it inside of the Kodesh Hakodeshim. Ha, lama likra? Why do we need the pasuk? Lema bechatzar o moed yochlua. Why don't you just invoke the pasuk from Parshat Tzav where it deals with the Torah Hamincha, and it says, "Vanoteret mimena yochlu aron uvanav matzot te'achel b'makom kadosh bechatzar o moed yochlua." Why do I need a specific pasuk to permit you to eat inside of the Eichal if we invoke Rabbi Yochanan's principle, which is, why should the tafel, the area that is subordinate to the Eichal, be greater than the Eichal itself? And if I invoke that, then they could eat inside. Why do I need a specific pasuk to tell me that they could eat inside the Eichal if I use the same logic Rabbi Yochanan used to tell me that I can shecht inside of the Eichal? Now, the words kodshei kodashim over there, the pashtut of the pasuk is that kodshei kodashim, those things that are kodshei kodashim, tochlenu, they are permitted to eat. The way the Gemara is darshaning over here is that you can eat them bekodesh hakodashim. That is a question between the Rishonim and the Mefarshei HaMikra as to what the limud is. Kodesh hakodashim is not the Heichal. So the question is Kodesh Kodeshim over here telling you that not only can you eat it in the Kodesh, but you can eat it in the Kodesh HaKodeshim? And if you can eat it in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, certainly you can eat it in the Kodesh. Or is Kodesh Kodeshim just telling you, relative to the Azara, the Heichal is Kodesh Kodeshim? That's the view of the Ibn Ezra. Whereas the view of the Ramban is that you could even eat inside of the Kodesh HaKodeshim based on this pasuk. So the Gemara's question is, on Rabbi Yochanan's logic, if we have that logic, why do we need Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira's limud from the pasuk in Parshat Korach when I could have done it logically through a Kal V'chomer? So Gemara answers, Avoda da adam oved b'makom rabo. There's a big difference between Shechita and Achila. Shechita is an Avoda. Avoda people do in front of their master. Then I can invoke the principle and say, the subordinate area can't be greater than the primary area. So if you're doing it petach ol moed, certainly you could do it in the ol moed. Because avoda, or doing something, is an indication of your subservience to the individual, to the master. And so even if you do the avoda outside and you do it inside, it would still be appropriate. Nobody would consider that to be something that was inappropriate. On the other hand, achila, shein adam ochel b'makom rabo, when it comes to eating, eating is something where you are personally benefiting from that which you are doing. It might also be an avoda in the case of the mikdash, but in general, when you are eating, we would not allow you to do that immediately in front of your master. You got to do it in an area that's somewhat more tsanua. Taima dichtav kra. That's only because I have a pasuk from Korach. Halokot of kra. Over there, if I didn't have a pasuk, lo yitafel chamur min eikar, lo amrinan. we would not invoke that principle of lo yehetafel chamor min eikar with regards to achila, because with achila I would say that being outside is more appropriate than being inside. It's more appropriate to eat betach omoed than it is to eat omoed. And without a specific pasuk to indicate that I have that right, we would not invoke this principle of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's principle could be correct, and yet you might still need the limud by Rav Yehuda ben Metera, because Rav Yochanan's speaking about the issue of avoda, where it would be appropriate to do the avoda ne'echal, whereas the pasuk is dealing with achila, which should not necessarily be an extrapolation, just because you can do it petach omoed, that you should be permitted to do it omoed in front of the master, closer to the master in the inner chamber, because achila is something that you're doing for your own benefit. It's not avoda, where it demonstrates your subservience. All right, itmar. So now we have a machloket amurayim. We're going to have a number of these machlokot between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Balala chutz lechumata azara. If you mix it outside of the chumata azara, this is referring to the mincha, where you bring the flour and the oil, and you mix it outside of the azara, Rabbi Yochanan amar psula. Rish Lakish amar ksheira. Rabbi Yochanan says, no good. You process the mincha outside of the azara. No good. Rabbi Shlokesh amar ksheira. Rabbi Shlokesh says that is fine. Rabbi Shlokesh amar ksheira. He says that it's fine. Dichtiv vaitzok alea shemen v'natan alea livona v'adar v'yavia el bnei Aaron hakohenim v'kamatz. So he takes the pasuk very literally, which is that the pasuk instructs you to pour the oil on, to put in the livona, meaning you can process the entire mincha. And then only afterwards does it say you bring it to the Bnei Aaron HaKohanim v'kamatz. You bring it into them. Mikamitza ve'elach mitzvat kiwana. Only from the time point of kamitza and forward, prospectively, do you require kiwana. Limeid al yitzika ubelila k'sheirim bizar. That shows you that first of all, yitzika, the pouring of the oil, the mixing of the oil in the solet, that can be done by azar. Umid de kiwana lo baye, panim lami lo baye. Just like you don't need kiwana to process the mincha, so too you're not going to require be done inside of the azara. Now that's a quantum leap, as the Baalei Tosafot already point out. We have precedence that says otherwise, which is by shchita. By shchita, azar can do shchita, yet shchita is required to be done bifnim. So how could it be that you're extrapolating here and saying the fact that it doesn't require kuhuna means that it can be done b'chutz? So Tosafot gives an answer and says that by shchita, it's a technical problem, which is that immediately after shchita, you need to do kabbalat adam. And kabbalah, and onwards, we know is mitzvat kuhuna, and kabbalah has to be done inside the azara. So we're going to acquire shchita inside the azara, not qua shchita, but because it facilitates kabbalah. And you can't do the shchita b'chutz and then the kabbalah bifnim, it's just not going to work. So it's a technical reason why you do the shchita bifnim, not because of the requirement of kiwuna. So based on that, he says you could differentiate between this and the mincha. The Chazon Ish then suggests that the distinction lies in the fact that by the korban, we're speaking about the arba avodot. The arba avodot of korban clearly have to be done bifnim, irrespective of the issue of kuhuna. On the other hand, by the mincha, we're talking about things that are prerequisite to the arba avodot. There, if you require kuhuna, then I would say that it demands bifnim. But then, if it doesn't require a kuhuna and it can be done by a zar, I also will not require that it be done bifnim. So that would be the distinction you would make between shchita and the preparations that are dealing with the mincha prior to the point in time that it enters into the arba avodot, which are the core avodot of the zevach or the mincha. So that's Reish Lakish's reasoning. And Baalei Tosafot conclude from that, Hachamashma, Davagav de Kedoshi, Lo Mifsala Biyotze. So it sounds like from this, according to Reish Lakish, even though you're Mekadesh in a Kli Sharet, that it would not be Pasul Biyotze. Vafilo Rabbi Yochanan Paleg Ala Mishum Dasa HaBlila B'chutz. Rabbi Yochanan only argues because you did the Blila outside. Avo Shum Yotze Lo. But he doesn't argue about the fact that it's done outside of the Azara. So the Baalei Tosafot want to conclude from this, that taking a mincha outside of the walls of the azara is not problematic when it's been placed into a kli sharet. So it sounds like from this, according to the Baalei Tosafot, there is no restriction of yotze when it comes to being mikadesh a mincha in a kli sharet. The Rambam even says that there's no requirement for kli sharet with regards to blilat mincha, and seemingly he probably gets it from the same source here that the Baalei Tosafot is getting it. You see here that doing blila b'chutz is okay according to Reish Lakish. And again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a problem that it needs to be done bifnim, but not the fact that there's a chisaron here at all. And so it seems, according to the Rambam, that the Gemara here is suggesting that you don't need a kli sharet at all. Rashi, on the other hand, believes that when you mekadesh a mincha in a kli sharet, one of the things that that does is opens it to the problem of Yotze. There are a number of things that happen once an item is kadosh inside of the Azara. It can be subject to Tumah. It can be subject to Lina. It can be subject to Yotze. So Tosfot over here wants to say that that's not true by Mincha. Yotze is not a problem, because you could see here that Reish Lakish says that you could do the preparations outside in a Kali Sharet. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't even argue on that point. He doesn't say it's a problem for Yotze. He just says it's a technical problem, which we'll see in a second, as to why he doesn't allow for Belila outside. So based on that, Tosfot wants to conclude that Yotze is not a problem by a Kali Sharet that has a Mincha in it. Many Rishonim argue on this view of the Tosfot, including Rashi. And the reason probably is because Kli Sharet don't function as Kli Sharet Bachutz. And that is, Kli Sharet are only Kli Sharet when they're used inside the Makom HaSherut. And so, even though there's a Kli Sharet here that you're utilizing and you're mixing it together, Reish Lakish is not going to be Posel Mishum Yotze, because the Kli Sharet is not necessarily Mekadeshit the way it would do Bifnim, because a Kli Sharet doesn't function as a Kli Sharet Bachutz. And therefore, Tosafot's Raya is not there, because even though Bifnim, if you're Mekadesh B'Kli Sharet and took it out, it'd be Pasul. If you start outside and do the Belila outside in a Kli Sharet, that's not going to make it Pasul Yotze, because a Kli Sharet doesn't have that power outside of the Azara to be Mekadesh the Mincha. Now, the other thing the Balei Tosafot point out over here is, when Rabbi Yochanan says Psula, says, Ava Gav Delo Balal Kshera Balal Chutz L'Chumat Azara Gara. Says, even though we're going to see upcoming that Rabbi Yochanan believes, if you didn't do Belila, the Mincha would be totally fine. If you do Belila outside of the Azara, it's worse. And so that's what Balei Tosafot invoke here, a principle that they use in many places in Shas, which is sometimes doing nothing is better than doing something that is negative, which is over here. If you mix it, that's a negative, because you've now done part of what needs to be done to the Mincha outside, and that already is a negative, and therefore it's going to make it pasul. Had you done nothing, just placed them into the Kli Sharet, Rabbi Yochanan would say it's totally fine. But that fact that you mixed it now actually causes it to be detrimental, because you did some portion of the mixing or avoda that needs to be done bifnim, you did bachutz. So even though, again, had you done no Belila whatsoever, it wouldn't have been a problem, because Belila itself is not ma'akev de mincha. But once you engage in Belila, you need to do Belila the right way, even though Belila itself is not ma'akev. And therefore, because you actually mixed it, gara. That's even worse, because you engaged in an activity that really needed to be done bifnim. And Rabbi Yochanan here, as we can see in the Gemara, argues and says, psula, that it's pasul kevin dasiyata b'klihu, ne'idakuna lo bayi pnim mi'yabai. And Rabbi Yochanan basically says what we said to dismiss the claim of the Balei HaTosafot that Yotze is not a problem over here, which is that Kli Sharet don't function outside. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here. You're doing this outside, and it requires Kli Sharet. Kli Sharet, just like Kehuna, only function inside of the Mikdash. They don't function outside of the Mikdash. And yes, you may not need Kehuna, so therefore you wouldn't need Bifnim, but since you need a Kli Sharet, then you do need a Bifnim. And then we have a Tanya Kavati, the Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Braita that supports Rabbi Yochanan's view. Balala Zar Kshera. If a Zar does the Blila, no problem. Chutz l'chomat ha'azara, psula. On the other hand, if it's done outside of the azara, it is problematic, and that's Rabbi Yochanan's view, that you don't require kuna, but you do require that it be done inside of the azara. Alright. Intmar, mincha shechasra, kodem kmitza. If you have a mincha that went missing, or there's some deficit in it, before the kmitza was taken. Rabbi Yochanan amar, yavimi toch beito, v'yimalena. You bring it from your house, and you fill it in. Meaning that you have the ability to fix the problem before you do the kmitza. Reish Lakish amar lo yavi mitoch beito v'yimalena. That you're not allowed to bring it from your house to fill in the deficit over here. Yochanan amar mevi mitoch beito v'yimalena. The reason you're allowed to bring it from your house and fill in the deficit is kmitza kovale. Once you've done the kmitza, that's what defines that which is there as a mincha. Reish Lakish amar lo yavi mitoch beito v'yimalena. Can't bring it from your house and fill in the deficit. Dushat Kli Kavale. The Kli itself, the Kli Sharet itself, is what designates it to be a Mincha at that moment. And again, this was invoked by Rashi earlier on to explain the Machloket Tanaim that we saw back on Daf Vav Amud Bet, where the Gemara thinks that the statement of Rav applied to the Chachamim in our Mishnah, and therefore the Machloket between the Chachamim and B'Mitera in the Mishnah is whether you have a right to fill in the Mincha Mi Beito. So Rashi says that Machloket then would be premised on this same machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, And over there, the Balei Tosafot said, can't be the case, because we're going to reject Reish Lakish over here. And therefore, they both must have argued within the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, this machloket is despite what we just saw in the previous machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan before said that if you do Blila Bachutz, it's problematic. Even though the Kometz is that which is defining it as a mincha. Nevertheless, it still needs the Kedushat HaKli to take place before you find it as a mincha. So even though Rabbi Yochanan believes that it's not until the moment of the Kometz that it's defined as a mincha, still prior to that point in time, the individual items that you're bringing have to be brought and mekudash b'kli sharet and processed in a kli sharet until that point in time. That does not obviate you the need to do it in a kli sharet or do it properly in a kli sharet. All it says is that the mincha only becomes defined as a unit of mincha once you do the kmitzah. And similarly, Reish Lakish, who allows you to do it b'chutz before and then bring it in, even though he says that Kedushat Kli is what defines the mincha, nevertheless, that's not going to happen until you bring it inside the Azara. Once you brought it inside the Azara, it'll gain that Kedushah because of the Kli Sharet that it's in. But processing it outside is not a deficit, even though you're doing it inside of a Kli Sharet. And again, this might push you in the direction of going against what Balei Tosafot say before, because again, Reish Lakish is saying that it doesn't function necessarily as a Kli Sharet b'chutz, that only takes over, only kicks in once you enter into the Azara. Otherwise, you have to argue that despite the fact that the Kli Sharet is Mekadesh the Mincha, there's a Gzeret HaKatuv, that Zar is Mutar to do the Blila, and that means that it also is Mutar to do b'chutz, despite the fact that the Kli Sharet is Mekadesh the Mincha. Eitvei Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan questions Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's position based on a Mishnah in the Gaim. Chaser halog. If the log of the Mitzora was missing that log of Shemen, imagine lo yatzak, if before he pours it into his hand to do the matanot of the Shemen, yimaleno, you're allowed to fill it in. To Yufta, that's a strong refutation of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's position. Because you see here, the Shemen, or the log Shemen of the Mitzora, even if it has a deficit, you can replace that deficit as long as you haven't done what the equivalent of kmitza is, which until you do the pouring of it into the hand of the Kohen to the sprinkling. So that seems to prove that Rabbi Yochanan's right until that moment of kmitza, or the taking action with the log Shemen, that's the defining moment for the item, and before that time, you can fill in a deficit. The Balei Tosafot are perplexed by this because it's an explicit Mishnah in Negaim. And how does Reish Lakish not know a Mishnah in Negaim? It says, V'teima, shlo yedoya Shimon Lakish, a Mishnah. It's one thing he doesn't know a Braita, but a Mishnah he should have known. And the real problem is that any answer you give over here, the Gemara should have given and shouldn't have said to Yufta. So the Sfat Emet here tries to differentiate between the Log Shaman and the case of Mincha, because the Log Shaman doesn't really have a Kemitza to it, even though there's a Yitzika. But more importantly, there's no Pasuk that says a deficit in the Log Shaman is problematic. And maybe that's distinct or different than the case of a Mincha. But once you've given an answer like that, the Gemara could have answered that on behalf of Reish Lakish, but yet the Gemara still says, Tiyufta, that it's a strong refutation of his position. So you're really in a bind here, in a catch-22. Had a Reish Lakish not know a Mishnah, and if you have a way to differentiate between the proof from the Mishnah and Reish Lakish's position, then why didn't the Gemara at least entertain that as a answer for Reish Lakish? Or at least say Kasha, not Tiyufta, which would open it for the possibility that you could give at least an answer, a difficult answer, even though it may not be the easiest way to explain that Mishnah. Right? Itmar, again, Machloka Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Shirayim Shechasru Ben Kmitza Lahaktara. If you have Shirayim that went to a deficit after the Kemitzah, but before the Akhtara. So before we spoke about the Mincha itself having a deficit, now we're speaking about a case where the Mincha was totally whole when you started, you took off a Kemitzah, and now the residual that's left behind goes missing something from it. There's a deficit in that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Maktir Kometz Alehen. Rabbi Yochanan says you continue to process the Avoda and put the Kometz on the Mizbeach. Reish Lakish Amar in Maktir Kometz Alehen. You can't do that. Aliba Rabbi Eliezer Kulei Amalo Plige. According to Rabbi Eliezer, nobody argues. Kiplige alibid Rabbi Yeshua. Where they argue is according to Rabbi Yeshua. It's none. We have a Mishnah that we will speak about later on. Nitme'u shiareha. If the shirayim became tmeim, nitzrefu shiareha. If the shirayim were burnt, avdu shiareha. Or the shirayim were lost. Kmita to Rabbi Eliezer kishera. If you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, then it will be kishera. Kemidat Rabbi Yeshua, if you hold the Rabbi Yeshua, it will be psula. So now, man de pasal, the one who says pasul over here, that's Reish Lakish, ki Rabbi Yeshua, holds like Rabbi Yeshua of the Mishnah, who says, kamidat Rabbi Yeshua, it would be psula if you're missing these shiraim, he holds like Rabbi Yeshua. Man de machshir, that's Rabbi Yochanan over here, ad kan lo amar Yeshua hatam el delo ishtayer. Rabbi Yeshua in that Mishnah is only speaking about a case where there's nothing left. There's no residual whatsoever. If there's at least something left over, afilo Rabbi Yeshua modile, even Rabbi Yeshua will agree in that case that it is okay to put on the Mizbech. Ditanyo. And now we have the Braita that helps us understand the positions of Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua, which is a position derived from Zvachim, applied to Menachot, and then Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, even within Menachot, argue about that position. Detanya. Rishua Meir, Kol HaZvachim Shibetorah, Shinishtayar Mehem Kezayit Pasar, Kezayit Chelev, Zorek Alein Et Adam. That if you have any Zevach in the Torah, as long as you have either a Kezayit Pasar or a Kezayit Chelev left, Zorek Et Adam, then you have to do Zrikat Adam. As Rashi says over here, Zrikat Adam, Eina Ela Hatirei Murin Mizbeach Ubasar Le'adam. The whole purpose of Zrikat Adam is to facilitate your placing of the Murim on the Mizbeach, or the eating of the Basar by the Adam, by the Kohanim, by the Baalim. It's an interesting way to phrase what the purpose of the Zrikat Adam is. I mean, Zrikat Adam has the purpose of being the Kapara, or the Mechaper in this case. Rashi says that Rabbi Yeshua believes that its main purpose is as a Matir. And therefore, if there's nothing for it to be matir, then the Zrikat Adam is worthless, and you don't do the Zrikat Adam. Otherwise, you just have to argue that Rabbi Yeshua's din is that there is a Gzerta Katuv, that if you have Basar, then you can have Dam, or if you have Chelev, then you can have Dam. It has nothing to do with the fact that Dam is a matir. So you need at least a minimum of a Kazait Basar, or a minimum of Kazait Chelev, to permit you to put the Dam on the Mizbeach. Kechatzi Zayit Basar, Kechatzi Zayit Chelev. If you only have a half kazayit of basar and a half kazayit of chelev, eno zarekat adam. There you can't do the zrikat adam, because achilat adam and achilat mizbeach are not mitzdareif. Ubeola. The exception to that is the ola. Then afilo kechatzi zayit basar, chatzi zayit chelev zarekat adam, mipnei sheola kula kalil. As we saw in Zvachim, and ola is kula kalil, and therefore there's no distinction between the basar and the chelev, because everything's going on the mizbeach here. And therefore if you have a chatzi zayit basar, chatzi zayit chelev, that is equivalent of kezayit worth of achilat mizbeach, and therefore you could do zrikat adam in that scenario. So that's the view of Rabbi Yoshua. Ubemincha, and by a mincha, afopi shekula kayemet, lo yizrok. And a mincha, even if everything is left over, you shouldn't do zrikat adam. Gemara asks the question, again we saw this in Zvachim, mincha ma'avita. Whoever mentioned a mincha over here? What's a mincha have to do with the zevach and doing zrikat adam of a zevach? So I'm rapapa minchat nisachim. Speaking about the minchat nisachim that comes along with the korban olah shlamim that require nisachim, this is the minchat nisachim that comes along with it. Sachadatcha minahoyu bahadi zevach atyo, since it is brought along with the zevach, and the zevach is what facilitates, precipitates the need for this minchat nisachim, ki gufei de zevach damya. We classify it as if it's a portion or part of parcel of the Zevach itself. And therefore, if you have the Minchat Nisachim still left over, you could do the Zrikat Adam. Kamash Malan, that's not the case. Kamash Malan, that the Minchat Nisachim, even though it's facilitated or precipitated by the Zevach, it's not considered to be such a close relationship that it's a singular unit with the Zevach. And therefore, that's not enough of a remnant or residual to allow you to do Zrikat Adam. You need something from the guf of Zevach in order to do the Zrikat Adam according to Rabbi Yeshua. That means Kezayit Chelev or Kezayit Basar. Either one of those would be sufficient to bring the Korban. So that's the view of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer believes that his source is in the Gemara Pesachim. It says, Vasito olotecha habasar v'adam. Dam afopi shein basar. You can have dam even though there's no basar. That shows you even without the basar or without the chelev, you have the right to put it on the Mizbeach. You could do Zrikat Adam. So again, they don't argue in Rabbi Eliezer's position, because Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require any residual be there in order to do the primary avodah. So just like the Zevach, the Dam, can be put on the Mizbeach, even though you have no Shirayim, you have nothing left over, Chelev or Basar, so too by the Mincha. Where they argue is in Rabbi Yeshua's position, who requires that there be a minimum of Kezayit Chelev, or Kezayit Basar left over to do the Zrikat Adam. Because he learns the pasuk of Asit Olotecha Basar Vadam, Im Yesh Basar, Yesh Dam. And he also learns the pasuk of Vizraka Goyen Et Adam. Vizraka Goyen Et Adam, Al Mizbach Hashem, Petach Omoed, Viktira Chelev, Dereach Nichoach Hashem. So as long as you have Akhtarat HaChelev, there's still zrikat adam. So whether it's basar or chelev, each one of them by themselves is sufficient to facilitate your ability to put dam on the mizbeach, but you need at least basar or chelev to permit you to put the dam on the mizbeach. And so what Reish Lakish says is, you see, based on the Mishnah later on, that Rabbi Yeshua says if it's posel by the zevach, it's also posel by the mincha. And Rabbi Yochanan says that's not true. What Rabbi Yeshua was saying later on is, it is the same as the zevach. Just like by the zevach, if you have a kezayit left over, it's enough. You don't have to have the whole behema there. You don't have to have the whole korban there in order to put it on. So it's over here. You don't need the whole mincha or the shiarei mincha to be there in order to put the komets on the mizbeach. The truth is that Rabbi Yochanan has a very strong position here, because the Mishnah later on is saying that there is a parallel between zevach and mincha. If that's the way the limud works over here, then just like by the zevach, you only need a portion, so too over here, by the mincha, you should only need a portion. And why does Reish Lakish require that the entirety of the residual be there? So that is for either one of two reasons. Either because we're about to bring a pasuk to support Reish Lakish's position, and therefore the pasuk demands that you have a full shiur, or a derivative of that, or the other way to say that is that the zevach doesn't have any requirement of shiur. There's no minimum shiur for a zevach. Since there's no minimum shiur for a zevach, then a kezayid is sufficient to allow you to do zrikat adam. By the mincha, we have a shiur. And since we have a shiur by the mincha, you've got to abide by the shiur in order to put the komets on the mizbeach. And so that's what the Gemara says now. Manda pasal shani hocha damar kra. By a mincha, it's different. This is Reish Lakish's view, because it says, with regards to the mincha in Perek Bet in Vayikra Pasuk Ted, Veirim akoen min ha mincha et azkarata, Victir ha-mizbecha yishei reach nichoach la-Hashem. So, min ha-mincha, the azkarata, which is the komets, is removed, then v'hiktir. And the way Reish Lakish is learning is that v'hiktir references back to min ha-mincha. Ha-mincha, ad ita dekula mincha, lo yaktir. So that yaktara of that azkarata is only permitted when mincha, the mincha that was there originally, is still intact. The yaktara has to be done when the whole mincha is still around. The same mincha that you spoke about at the beginning of the pasuk has to be the mincha at the end of the pasuk. V'idach, min ha-mincha, mincha shayta kvar. The mincha is not a reference to saying it has to be the exact same size. It means from the mincha that you had before, this is the askara, this is the komets that goes on the mizbeach. That doesn't demand that it be the same size as the original mincha, just means that it is from the original mincha. And so that'll be their machloket in the interpretation of that pasuk as to whether there's a minimum shiur of mincha when the komets goes on the mizbeach. Reish Lakish says it has to be the same size as the mincha you started out with, meaning the komets and the shiurayim have to add up to the original mincha, whereas Rabbi Yochanan is learning that v'irim akwein min ha-mincha, min ha-mincha kvar, that was the original mincha, that you take off as karata. V'iktir, now the askarata is put on the mizbeach, that is not that the mincha currently needs to be that way, min ha-mincha, that's if the original mincha was the right size, now you can put the komets on the mizbeach, but that doesn't mean in the present it still has to be that same size in order for the haktara to take place. You need just the minimum shiur of shiraim left over, and that would then be sufficient to allow you to continue, like Rabbi Yeshua says, by a zevach. Alright, 8th vei, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish from something we saw in yesterday's daf with regards to the lechem apanim. The lechem apanim, it says, ad shalo pirka, before he takes it off of the shulchan, nifras lachma, the lechem breaks. Something goes wrong with the lechem apanim. Then a lechem pasul, vein maktir alav et habazichim. The lechem is pasul, and the bazichim are no good. Ve'im mishepirka, if you already took it off of the shulchan, nifras lachma, something went wrong with the lechem, a lechem pasul, the lechem is pasul, umaktir alav et habazichim. But on the other hand, you still can't put the bazichim on the mizbeach. So now, there's an additional statement over here. According to Rashi, this statement, this qualification of Rabbi Elazar is brought down unnecessarily. It's just because we just quoted this on the previous daf. And on that previous daf, Rabbi Elazar's position was integral to what the Gemara was saying. And it brought it over there. Since it quoted back there, it's quoting it here as well. But here it has no meaning or it's not necessary. And you can see something similar in the Ot Zayin of the Shita Mikubetzet, although the Rashba gives an alternative derech, which is Rabbi Lazar's statement over here enhances the question. It's not necessary for the question, but enhances the question. The reason why it may not be such a great way to enhance the question is because Rabbi Yochanan is the questioner over here. Rabbi Lazar is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't bring his Talmud's interpretation of the Limud in order to bolster his position. It would make so much sense if Rabbi Yochanan's quoting Rabbi Elazar. But the Rashba brings this idea that maybe it's enhancing the question, which is Amar Rav Elazar, lo pirka mamash. It's not literally that you took it off. Ela kevin shehigia zman lefarik. As long as you reach the point in time when you're supposed to take it off, afal pi shelo pirka, even though you didn't take it off. What you see from here is, as we paralleled in yesterday's daf, that the lechem apanim and the bazichim are the same as the komets that's taken off of the mincha. Taking the bazichim off the shulchan is like the kmitza of the mincha. And what you see here is, after you've taken the bazichim and the lechem off of the shulchan, which is the equivalent of a komets being removed, if something happens to lechem, you still put the bazichim on the mizbech. So that's the equivalent of chaseira. The residual was chaseira over here. And nevertheless, we say continue on with the avoda and put it on the mizbech. Now, Rabbi Elazar only enhances that by saying, even if you don't even get it off the shulchan, even if it's just ra'oi to be taken off the shulchan, that's enough to say that that residual doesn't hurt the bazichim. So that's even stronger question against Rish Lakish. Here, when the komets is taken off, you require shirayim to be whole. Here, even when it's still, in a sense, together, but only ra'oi to be taken off, we say that if it falls apart, it's still okay. Then certainly, when you took it off already, the shirayim should be fine. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is challenging Rish Lakish from this braita. Although, as the Rashba points out, Rish Lakish could have just responded to Rabbi Yochanan from the beginning of this braita, where it said, "Adjalo pirka nifras lachma alechem pasul vein maktir lavet abazichim," which is a question on Rabbi Yochanan's position from before, which is that if the mincha is chasera, you can just fill it in from your house. Over here it says, if it goes bad before they took the bazichim off, before the komets, you can't do anything about it. And that would be a question of Rabbi Yochanan. The answer that Rabbi Yochanan would likely give is that there's a big difference between lechem apanim and a mincha. By a mincha, you're dealing with solet and shemen, and if something goes chaser before the komets, you can replace it mi beito. On the other hand, the lechem apanim are already ready-made items. If something goes chaser after they're already put on the shulchan, and now you haven't taken off the bazichim, the komets equivalent yet, you can't really replace it because there's nothing to replace the lechem apanim. The lechem apanim are a whole item. They're not something that you could just simply bring an ingredient and fill it in. Amalei, Hamani, Rabbi Eliezer, Shlaka says, that's Rabbi Eliezer, who says that there's no requirement for Shirayim whatsoever. We're arguing within the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. So you bring me a proof from something that is authored by Rabbi Eliezer? Amalei, Ana Amina Lecha Mishnah Shlema. Yochanan says, I bring you a Stam Mishnah, Varmar Liat Rabbi Eliezer, and you tell me that it's authored by Rabbi Eliezer? Since when? E Rabbi Eliezer, my Iria Nifras, Afilu Saruf, Vavud Nami. So then if it was authored by Rabbi Eliezer, why does the Breita over here only mention the problem of Chaseira? It could have mentioned the problem of Saruf Vavud. Meaning that we know from just the Mishnah we just quoted, that Rabbi Eliezer's belief is, even when there's no Shirayim left whatsoever, the komets can still go on the Mizbeach. So you're bringing me and telling me, oh, the bright to speak in Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, and giving you the least of the Chidushim over here. Nifras is not even the biggest Chiddush that you could have in Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'ir and Nifras, Afil Saruf Avod, Nami Machshir, Ishtik. Rish Lakish was silent, did not respond to Rabbi Yochanan, which we would assume means Shtika Koda. That means he acquiesced, or he gave in to Rabbi Yochanan's position. But my shatak, the Gemara says, why was he silent? Le melei tzibur shiny. Why don't you say things that are done with the tzibur are different? Hove ishtari tumah legabayu, ishtari nami chaserot. By tzibur, we have other dispensations, including the dispensation that tumah hutra or duchuya b'tzibur. So let's say the same thing with regards to chaser. Chaser is hutra or duchuya b'tzibur. Maybe that's why by the lechem apanim, that works, but may not work by the Minchat HaYachid. Maybe you can't extrapolate from Lechem HaPanim to Minchat HaYachid. Mar says, Amar Avad HaBahava, Zoto Merit. From this you can conclude, HaChisaron KeBal Mum Dami. That Chisaron is not like Tuma, but much more like a Bal Mum. Vein Bal Mum B'tzibur. And just like there's no dispensation for Bal Mum B'tzibur, we don't say Mum Hutra B'tzibur, or Mum Dechuya B'tzibur. Mum is a problem both for Korbanot HaYachid and Korbanot HaTzibur. And just like they're a problem for Korbanot HaTzibur, so do Chaserot are a problem for Korbanot HaTzibur. I mean that since Rish Lakish didn't use this answer when he had it, shows you that it wasn't a valid answer. If it's not a valid answer, what that's indicating to you is that Chaser is equated to or equivalent to Bal Mum and not Tuma. And since it's not equated to Tuma, it doesn't have any special dispensation of Tzibur. Therefore, you can't make any distinction between Lechem HaPanim and the Minchat HaYachid. Yativ Rapapa V'kama HaShmaitita. He was saying over this, Memra, where Rish Lakish was silent. Amalei Rav Yosef Bar Shamei the Rav Papa, Milo Askinan, the Rav Yochanan Beish Lakish Vimchat Omer, the Tzibur Hui, Ublige. How do you know where Rav Yochanan Beish Lakish are arguing? All it says in the machlok between them is that they're arguing about a mincha. But one of the menachot that they could be arguing about is minchat omer. And minchat omer is brought bitzibur. So the memra that Rav Papa said over, the way that we have it in our Rashi over here, what seems to be the simplest way to explain it, is that he brought the conclusion of the Gemara, which is that Reish Lakish should have answered tzibur shiny. The fact that he didn't answer Tzibur Shiny shows you that he doesn't believe that Tzibur is shiny. And to that, Rabbi Yossi bar Shemaya comes to corroborate and say that the machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan exists even by a Korban Mincha Shel Tzibur. Because Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argued about a Mincha generically, and a Mincha could be a Mincha Yachid or a Mincha Tzibur, which is a Mincha Omer. And if that's the case, then Reish Lakish argues even by Mincha Tzibur, and that's why he can't use the answer of Tzibur Shiny, because he doesn't believe that Tzibur is shiny. He believes that if there's a chisaron by the Tzibur, it would also be problematic, and therefore the conclusion of the Gemara is correct. But if you look in the Shita Mekubetzet Otet, he brings what seemingly is a different version or view within Rashi, which is that Rav Papa was just quoting the statement of Rav Adar Bar Ava. And Rav Adar Bar Ava's statement was simply that chisaron kibal mum upasul betzibur. And the implications of that statement then were, everybody agrees that chisaron has a din like balmum, and therefore betzibur, every chisaron would be problematic. To that, Rabbi Yossi bar Shmaya says that's not the case. He's arguing Rav Adar Bar Ava and saying that that machloket Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish exists even in that issue. And that is that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, aren't they also arguing about a mincha that tzibur, which means in a tzibur, Rabbi Yochanan does permit chisaron, which Reish Lakish doesn't. And that means that conclusion that you came to, that chisaron is kibal mum, is only true according to Reish Lakish, it's not true according to Rabbi Yochanan. In that way, Rabbi Yosef Shmaya is disagreeing with Rav Adar Bar Ava's conclusion, where Rav Adar Bar Ava seemed to make a generic statement about everyone holds, or everyone must believe, and to that, Rabbi Yosef Shmaya says that's just not true. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with that. It might be true for Reish Lakish, it's not true for Rabbi Yochanan, because that is part of the machloket between them. And Shita Mekubetzet doesn't love that explanation, because nevertheless, Zoto Meret does have application, has application at least for Reish Lakish, and therefore Rav Adar Bar Ava's statement is just not totally incorrect. He's making it within the world of Reish Lakish, and he never implied that that was a generic statement. And so therefore they favor the explanation that we brought from Rashi originally, the way that it seems to be written in the Rashi that we have in front of us, that the Shita Mekubetzet brings as an alternate explanation, Ve'lekach Nira L'Ram, Lefaresh La'ishmaitadu B'tzibur Shaini. That statement that Rav Papa was saying over to Rav Yosef Shmaya was Tzibur Shaini, and on that, he corroborates or shows you that that is the case, that Rav Reish Lakish couldn't have answered otherwise, and therefore his silence was acquiescence. Because Reish Lakish thinks it's true by Minchat Omer, just like it's true by Minchat Yachid. So therefore, saying that Lechem Panim is a din in Tzibur doesn't help him, because that won't help you with regards to Minchat Omer. Minchat Omer is also a Minchat Tzibur. And here, there, Reish Lakish believes, if you're missing from the Shirayim, it's still problematic to put the Kometz on the Mizbech, and then that would eliminate the possibility of answering Tzibur Shiny, like Rav Adar Bar Ava suggested. Amar Rav Malkiel, Tana Chado, we have one bright that says, Ve'viyahu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim, ve'kamatz misham lo kumtzo misalta u'mishamna al-kol levonota, v'kter ha-Kohen et azkarata ha-Mizbecha, ishei reach nicholach la-Hashem. Misalta, that you have to bring the mincha misalta from the solet. Shim chasera kosho psula. If you're missing from the solet, that's pasul. Mishamna, the shamna, you have to bring it from the shemen. Shim chasera kosho pasul. If you're missing any amount, it is pasul. V'tanya idach, and we have another brayta that says, V'anoter min mincha l'aron uvanav kodesh kodeshim mi'ishei Hashem. V'anoteret min mincha prat l'mincha shechasera. Again, that comes to tell you that a mincha chasera is problematic. All of these items make the mincha into something that is pasul. The mincha chasera is what we're focused on over here. That's what we're going to discuss in a second. The other two items, shechaser kumtza and shloiktir milavonata, that we learn out from psukim later on in the mesechta. You have to have melo kumtzo. You have to have the full amount of the komets placed on the mizbeach as a duplication of that lashon. With regards to levona, we have later on that levona is me'akev the komets, and the komets is me'akev levona. You need both matirim to put on the mizbeach in order for the mincha to be mutar. Without either one of them, the mincha is psula. So Gemara says, trei krai b'chaserot lomali. Why do I need two sources for the fact that a mincha chasira is psula? So lav, chad mincha shechasra kodem kmitza, v'chad shirayim shechasru ben kmitza laktara. The tiyuvta de Rabbi Yochanan b'yitar vayu. Because then it would be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan in both fronts. Which is, maybe the possibility is that the reason you have two braitot bringing you two different sources, one to teach you that a mincha des chasira prior to that point in time is problematic, and a mincha des chasira after the kmitza is also problematic. And both of those are questions of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said before, if you have a mincha chasira, just bring it from your house and fill it in. So then we're saying one braitot saying, no good, chasira is problematic. Second braita says that after you already did the kometz, and it's chasira, also problematic. So now you have a huge question against Rabbi Yochanan's position. The Gemara says, no, that's not the way you'd explain why the braita would have two different sources. Chada minchash chasira kodem kmitza. So one of them is to teach you that if the mincha is chasira before the kmitza, dime vime vitov yimalena in. If you come in from your house, fill it in, and you make it whole again, fine. Mi lo lo. If not, not. So that's one braita is telling you that if it's still chasira, it's problematic. The chad shirayim shechasru ben kmitza laktara wants to teach you that if the shirayim are chasirim between the kmitza and laktara, tafagav de maktir kometz alein otan shirayim asurim lachila. Rabbi Yochanan, now we qualify his position and say, even though you're allowed to put the kometz on the mizbeach, when you have those shirayim that are missing, that's not matir the shirayim beachila. These shirayim cannot be eaten. Tibailu, because we had a question. The Divrei Omer Shiraim Shechasru Ben Kmitza Laktara Maktir Kometz Aleihem Utan Shiraim Mahin Bachila. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan, when he says that you have a mincha that is chasera, still allows you to put the kometz on the mizbeach, what's the din of those shiraim? Are they mutar bachila? Amar Aziri, Amar Kra. Aziri says, the pasuk says, Vahanoteret Velo Hanoteret Minototeret. Only that which is residual can be eaten, not that which is a residual to a residual. And over here, you're a residual to a residual because you're missing a portion of the residual. And that becomes then a residual to a residual, and therefore it is not allowed to be eaten. And that would be supportive, or the way we're explaining Rabbi Yochanan in the Braita, that it's not mutar ba'achila. Even though, as Tosfot points out now, that if it's asur ba'achila, isn't that the equivalent as if lo nishtar klom, as if nothing's left here? Because whatever is left is not usable or not edible. He says, v'yesh lamar, kevan di'alfinan mincha mizebach. Since mincha is derived from zebach, the fact that you need a residual, take a zebach. It has a din like a zebach. The kevin de lo avdu, avikilu, and be'ain. As long as they're not lost, it's as if they're still there. So even though they're not usable or edible, you still have the possibility of considering them as shirayim in order to facilitate your ability to put the kometz on the mizbeach. But does what does point out, we could have even come to this conclusion from the bright that we brought forward with the lechem apanim, which said that when the lechem goes bad after the bezichin are removed from the table, that the lechem apanim is pasul. So over there you see also that it's pasul ba'achila, and this only just enhances that conclusion that it is pasul, meaning that it's not ra'ui la'achila, if it is chasera, ben the time that the kmitza was done, and akhtara on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda Yamar, mi'amincha, mincha shayta kvar. Like we darshaned up above, mi'amincha means the mincha that you had originally, and there are two ways to read this. Rashi brings both interpretations. One interpretation is that he is arguing on Ze'iri and saying that doesn't matter that the mincha is chasera because it is min ha-mincha. The mincha that was there originally has to be whole, not the mincha now. And therefore, even to shirayim or chasirim, you can eat them. That's one interpretation. Rashi does not like that interpretation and brings a second interpretation, which he favors, which is that Rabbi Yana is agreeing with Ze'iri just ma'shma'ut dorshim. They just darshan from different places, but they both agree that it's asur ba'achila, and that's what it means here. Mincha, mincha shayta kvar. Mincha has to still be whole now, like it was whole before, in order to be matir the shirayim ba'achila. And the shita mekubetz, it again brings from the Tosafot Chitzoniot, that it makes more sense to say that because Rabbi Yanai is Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. And so it wouldn't make sense that Rabbi Yochanan's arguing as Rebbe, so we'd much rather have Rabbi Yanai, or concert with Ze'iri, supporting Rabbi Yochanan, because that would mean that Rabbi Yochanan is following the sheet of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yanai. Alright, now back to the Mishnah. Kometz bismol. If you take it off with your left hand, then, according to the Chachamim, it's pasul. According to Ben Beteira, you can put it back and start over again. Now, Menahane Milet. How do you know that Kometz bismol is problematic? I'm Reb Zera Damakra. The pasuk says, by the Miluim, by a kravet amincha, by a male kapo mi mena, by a ktera la mizbeach, mi vado la taboker. Kav zeinu de amahu. When it says that you fill your palm with it, how do I know what that kaf means? Shomer v'lakach ha-kohen mi-loga shomen v'yitzak al-kaf kohen ha-smalit by the loga shomen of the mitzorah. It says over there that the kohen takes the loga shomen and then he pours it into the palm of his left hand. Kan smalit ha-kol makom shenemar kaf enu el-yamin. The fact that it has to specify it's in the left hand by the mitzorah indicates that this is the sole location where kaf means the left side. Everywhere else, kaf would be, by default, the right side. And so over here, by the mincha, where it says the kmitza is done by the kaf of the kohen, that kaf means the right hand or the right palm that is placed in there to do the komets. Where it says, Rami Baile de Gufe, don't we need that for the loga mitzora itself to tell you that you put it in the left hand? So Mara says, Malit achrinaktib. It says the word small twice. Because it says, Vakacha kohen miloga shaman. And then the subsequent pasuk it says, "V'tarabala kohen et etzvo yemenit min Hashem and Asher al kapo asmalit." Izam in Hashem etzvo shevapamim lifnei Hashem. Ve'ema ein miut acher miut elo l'rabot. When you have two miutim that come one after the other, then that comes to be merabit, to include. So maybe you would say the same thing over here. The reason you have two miutim over there is not to say that here's the only location where it's left and nowhere else it's left. It's to teach you that over there, you do it in your left hand, that's the right way to do it. If you do it in your right, it's still okay, because that's ein miut acher miut elo l'rabot. It says, smalit achrinaktiv. You have a third time that the word small is written. Kan smalit, vein achar smalit. And you learn from that, that over here, it's the left hand, and nowhere else. Veim adraba. Ma kan smalit, apamana mismalit. Why don't you say this becomes a paradigm, or a precedent? By which you say, over here, it sets the standard for every kaf being on the left side. Arba smalit, ketive. It's actually written four times the word smalit. That is because by the Parshata Mitzorah, Torata Mitzorah, there are two parshiot. There's a parsha of the Ashir, the person who economically can afford to do the higher level Tara, and then there's the parsha of the Ani, the Mitzorah Ani, who's becoming Torah, who has a different requirement. He replaces the animals with birds to make it a cheaper korban or affordable korban for him to become Torah from his Tzorat. So since you have two parshiot, and in each parsha the word small is written twice, so that's how you end up with the word small four times. So trei bani, trei bashir. Two times it's written by ani, two times it's written by the ashir. The way Rashi learns this is that ein ochanami, if you just had two times the word smalit, you would have said ein miut acher miut elo l'rabot. The third smalit comes to tell you, don't learn it b'miut acher miut l'rabot. Elo, this is really a miut over here, because you have a third time that the word smalit appears. Then once you've already established it's not a miut acher miut, the fourth word smalit comes to teach you that this place in particular is there a requirement of smalit. Nowhere else is there a requirement of smalit. And that is because Rashi claims over here, Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad, that it's two psukim that are teaching you the same din of small, and therefore, Ein Melamdim, they don't teach you. That's a very difficult way to express it, as Rashi notes over here, because we never find Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'achad is really a din when you have two different dinim for two different items that teach you the same thing. So there we say, if it wanted to set a standard, or a precedent, or a paradigm, it would have told you once, and then we would have extrapolated from it. The fact that it tells you twice, tells you these are the exceptions to the rule, not the rule. But over here, you're dealing within one din, within one halacha, it doesn't make sense to say that. Therefore, Rashi says it's not really because of the din of Shnei Ketuvim Kabayim Kechad, but rather because of the extra word smalit. That extra word smalit comes to teach you that it's a miut, to tell you only here is the kafa smalit, nowhere else is there a din of kafa smalit. And therefore, according to Rashi, the first smalit would have been used the gufo, but the fact that you have a second one makes it that you would have thought to say, ein miut acher miut elo l'rabot. Then you have the third smalit to teach you that the first two are not ein miut acher miut elo l'rabot, but rather they should be daishin the gufe. So that means now, so far, all you have is the gufe to teach you that by the mitzorah itself, it must be done in the left hand, not in the right hand. Then the fourth smalit comes along to teach you, don't take that as a precedent. Don't take that as a binyan av for all kaf or kapot that are found in the Torah, that they should be done on the left side. Rather, that's a miut to say only here is a need for a smalit. Nowhere else is there a need for smalit. And that's what the necessity for all four of those smalit are. Although the Baalei Tosfot ask here, and generically throughout Shas, why would the Torah ever do ein miut acher miut elo l'rabot? If it wanted to be merabit, just don't write the two miutim at all. Although there are those that answer that it comes to preclude other possible limudim. So when you say miut acher miut elo l'rabot, that tells you that there is a ribuy over here, and it precludes using other types of limudim would have brought you to a different conclusion. So amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu l'Rabbi Zeira, al bon yado yemenit, bal bon ragelo yemenit. Dichtiv, lomali. So now here, the Gemara, once they're dealing with these two parshiot, says, wait a minute, doesn't it say twice the word Yemanit inside of the parshiot? And you have it again duplicated because it's once in Ani, once in Ashir. And then within each parsha, it's written twice. Because it says, "Be'yeter Hashem and Asher al Kalpo yitena kohen al tnu chozen amitar yemenit valbon yado yemenit valbon raglo yemenit al dam Hashem." But previously, we already know where the dam Hasham was placed. It said, "Ve'lakach kohen midam Hasham yatana kohen al tnu chozen amitar yemenit valbon yado yemenit valbon raglo yemenit." So you already defined that it was these areas were on the yemenit by the dam Hasham. And if you're saying put the shemen where the dam Hasham is, then why do you have to repeat the word Yemanit by each one of them? So what does that come to teach you? Chad achshir tzadim, chad ifsol tzidei tzadim. One of them to machshir that on the thumb or the big toe, if you get it on the sides, that it is fine. One of them is to teach you if you get it on the opposite side of the thumb, meaning on the outside of the thumb or the outside of the big toe, that's problematic. Al dam Hasham, because by the Ashir it says, "Umiyeter Hashem and Ashel Kapo Yitena Kohen Al Tnuch Ozen Amiter Yemenit Albon Yedo Yemenit Vabon Raglo Yemenit Al Dam Hasham Al Makom Dam Hasham." Whereas by the Ani it says, "Natana Kohen Min Hashem and Ashel Kapo Al Tnuch Ozen Amiter Yemenit Albon Yedo Yemenit Vabon Raglo Yemenit Al Makom Dam Hasham." And again, by the Parshiot of the Ani and Ashir, it says that you have to place the Shemen in the same location where you put the Dam Hasham, the Hasham of the Mitzora. The dam partly is placed on the thumb and the big toe and the ear of the mitzora. And it says there that you put the shemen on top of the dam. Now it uses different language. One time it says al dam hasham. One time it says al makom dam hasham. Lamayatu. Why is there that distinction between the ani and the ashir? Hanitzriche. Dika davrachan al dam hasham. Havamina ite in mitkanei achlo. Only if the dam hasham is still there do you put the shemen on top of it. If the dam hasham is not there anymore, it was wiped off already, then you can't do it. Therefore, Kadam Rahman al Makom, Dam Hasham. In the place where the Dam Hasham was, you don't need the actual Dam Hasham, it just has to be in the same place. Vikadam Rahman al Makom, Havamina Davka Nitkaneach. Only if you wipe off the Dam is it okay in the location where the Dam was. Avaite, if the Dam's still there, Imava Chatzitza, then it would be a problem with Chatzitza, Kamash Malan, al Dam Hasham. You can literally put on Dam Hasham to tell you whether the Dam is there or not there. Either way, the Shemen works. It's not a Chatzitza if the Dam is there. And if the dam is missing, it's not a deficit because it's makom dam hasham. So the distinction, why the Torah didn't use the same language in both places, comes to teach you those additional dinim, that it's not a chatzitza, and you don't require the actual dam to be there. Okay, we're going to stop here at the two dots on the top of Yud Amud Aleph.